Hello.
Hello? Can
What are you eating?
hear me?
Yes, I can hear you eating. I thought you guys were going to a party afterwards.
We are. Maybe why am I eating before the party?
Yeah, why are you eating before the party?
I was hungry. It's lunchtime. You have to guess what I'm eating.
Sounds like a carrot or a celery.
Close. It's fruit, though. An
An apple.
apple. You got it. I'm
Yeah, I
finishing
get
off a delicious apple.
that sounds juicy.
It's
Sounds all
good.
juicy and wet in there.
It's nice and wet. It's dripping down my mouth, the sides of my mouth.
Yeah, nice and lubricated. I haven't heard from Micah yet.
I have not either. Seen Japan yet?
He might be.
Need to mute so I can take a bite of this apple.
Okay.
Where's my mute button?
Mute. Bill's on mute right now because he's eating an apple. He's very professional. He doesn't like to make food sounds so the listeners could hear them.
That's right, I have some class.
Yeah. He's a professional podcaster and he writes the script, so if he says apple in the background, you'll hear it. But if it doesn't, that means he's on mute.
How are you? Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yes, welcome to Geek Brunch, episode 208.
Banner. And
And my name is Bill.
I am Micah.
And Mike is on a convention.
Micah is at some. Oh, where is Micah? Because I wanted to talk to him about that weird convention that he posted about. That
Well,
Tumblr.
I'm pretty sure he'll be here because he texted him and Barb were talking about 24 on the phone, and he said he would be here. So,
All right. So what have you been up to?
not much. I've been reading comics this weekend and
Awesome.
watching some movies and a
Awesome.
lot of TV.
Sounds like a good weekend.
I'm really worried about TV this fall because there's so many things I want to watch, which is unusual,
Oh, so you're worried
and
about
I'm
having
worried about it
time to
taking
watch them all?
my
Yeah.
time, taking away time from my comics, which I don't have any time to give. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting.
That is rough. So, like, what shows are you looking forward to?
I'm really looking forward to Arrow when it comes out on Netflix. I want to try to powerhouse through them so I can catch up.
I thought you were caught up.
No,
You just did the first
I did
season?
the first season on Netflix and I would like to catch up
Yeah.
so I could watch it live. And then I want to watch The Flash. I want to watch Gotham. I want to watch iZombie. I want to watch Daredevil, all those damn Marvel shows.
Strain.
I'm watching The Strain already and I'm caught up. I'm watching Under the Dome. God, there's just so much shit. Penny Dreadful, I need to catch up on. Yeah, just a lot. There's a lot of shows.
I haven't seen Penny Dreadful. What is that on HBO or something?
Penny Dreadful's on Showtime.
Okay, Showtime.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and I liked it quite a bit. I like the horror genre and it plays on that. And it plays on it in the past. I would call it League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in the horror genre. That's kind of what that show's about.
What's the time frame? Like, is it the 50s or something?
The West time
Oh, the
frame.
West.
Yeah, Wild West, but it's not Wild West in the United States. It's just in that time frame in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh yeah, Penny Dreadful. That would be English.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, TV's good now. That's what they're saying. Like, the best stuff, the best writing now is on TV, because that's where they're given the most freedom.
Yeah, ever since they started to say, I can make shows and I don't have to be on a primary network,
Right.
it's gotten
That's
better
where
and better.
it opened up
And the
everything.
con it opened up a can of worms, and there's more and more opportunities to watch shows that wouldn't be greenlit before. And
Right, that you would have never seen
I
before.
think that's why I have so much interest in it. And so yeah, there's a lot of good TV.
Well, it's almost like comic books where you have your Marvel and DC, which is like your major networks, and if you're going to do that, you have to follow the rules of the organization. But then there's all these other, in comics, there's all these other alternatives, publishers that if you go with one of them, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. And a lot of times you
Yeah.
end up with better stories because it's just creators doing, they have a vision and they want to tell this story and they can go and tell the story and no one stops them.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a similar paradigm.
So, do you want to talk comics?
Sure.
Because I got a lot of cock to talk about. Because I went on to a boom kick.
Boom
And
kick.
yeah, I didn't. I read a lot of Boom, and I found three titles that I really, really enjoyed, and a lot of other ones that I really, really liked. The first one that I read is more kid centric,
Okay.
and it's more all ages, and it was just fun.
The Empty Man.
Yeah, no. It was the Lumberjanes,
Lumberjanes.
number 1 through 3, and this was like something that I think my niece would get a kick out of, you know. I think if I only read the first issue, I would have dropped it,
Yeah,
but
I read the first issue.
because I kept on with it, I'm now hooked. So I am gonna keep going and getting the Lumberjanes, which is pretty much just a bunch of girls. That it looks like their imaginations run away with them as they're in a camping, like a summer camp. And I don't think anything that they're seeing or doing is real, but I think it's
Really?
real in their imaginations.
I'm trying to
So
find my issue, but I can't find the damn thing. Yeah, I read the first one and I liked it, but it wasn't enough to get me to continue. Not
yeah,
that it was bad, it was well done. The art was, I like the art a lot.
I think I would have. I don't do the one issue thing because
Yeah, you give the
I don't think it's enough. I really don't. I found
Oh,
series that I
there's Lumberjanes.
absolutely love after about 3 issues. I mean, just
Yeah.
start to love it. And if I just judge it by the first issue, I would miss out on a lot. Stuff that I like. I understand that first issues are supposed to draw you in, and if they don't, you probably won't get repeat. But I always thought that I want to give it at least 3 issues or a little longer
Right, to get
for
the
me to latch on
more of the
to
story.
what's going on, and I've been happy with that approach. 'Cause, well. I'm happy not from a financial perspective because I latch on to too much, but I'm
It's
happy
expensive
from.
to. It's definitely more expensive to try the first 3 issues of series than the first issue.
Yeah. But Lumberjanes was by Nicole Stevenson and Brooke A. Allen did it, and it's part of their musical imprint. Which it, at the back of each issue, it tells you, like, do you want to play this music along with this issue? You could listen to that music. I don't
Does it say
play.
that? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it says that at the back. But I haven't tried to do that, but I just read the issues for what they are. But it's a cool little adventure. If it, how could I explain it? It's almost like a all ages Rat Queens. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it is a definitely it was a fantasy book with younger kids. And they're I don't remember if they're headed off on an adventure or I don't remember how it ended.
The way it ended is their counselor brought them in because they were in trouble because they had went out and they shouldn't have gone out.
Yeah, they went into the forest, right?
Yeah. And the main person that runs the camp seems to be more understanding to the girls, like, you guys could pretty much do what you want, and you have an anal retentive camp counselor that ain't gonna let you do shit. And the second one was a pretty cool adventure because they w decided to go rafting with their camp counselor, and their camp counselor lost them all on rafts because they went down like some rapids. And in the third issue, they ended up discovering a cave, and the whole issue was like centered around the cave. But it is a cool little story. I'd recommend it to if you could find somebody that's ages 5 to 7. I think it would really appeal to it. But it still has an art style and a
I wouldn't say
flavor.
five, I think like 7 to 10.
7 to 10.
Yeah.
I think it has an art style
Or maybe even
that
older.
will even
It's like
appeal to
12.
adults, and adults can enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
It is kind of you got to let your mind go and just go with the adventure, because that's what it is. It's an all ages adventure, and through the minds of, I don't know, six children with varying personalities. But I give that a thumbs up. I like that one the least, just because it's more kid
You're not the target.
friendly.
Yeah, you're not the
Yeah,
target
I'm not the
audience.
target audience, but I appreciate
But
it
it
for
was well
what it
done.
is, and it was well done, and I'm gonna keep going with it.
I'm gonna run into the other room for a second. I think my kids are hogging the bandwidth here.
Oh, okay.
I'll be right
All
back.
right, hogging the bandwidth.
Oops, damn kids and their computers.
Oh, they're downloading too much stuff.
Watching too many YouTube videos. Kids these days, they just watch YouTube videos. The next generation is going to be interesting.
God help
Because
us, no.
literally they're all well, it's interesting because they're basically creating content for one another on
Yeah.
YouTube, and that's what they watch.
I saw an interesting video where they put a bunch of kids in front of a computer that looked like a Commodore 64.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And yeah, and it was just like, how do I turn this fucker on? What the fuck is
And
this?
you show them like the
What,
discs and
you mean
stuff.
I have to type into it? The one kid was talking to it.
They're like, "Where's the mouse?"
Yeah.
Brought back the memories.
Hey, Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so Mike is here.
Welcome to the Geek Brunch Show.
Yes, welcome.
Thanks.
Bill had to go tell his kids to get off the internet.
Were using all my internet.
How do you know? What was wrong? Was I coming digitized or what?
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But now you're crystal clear. Like I can hear your smooth, dulcet tones perfectly.
Well, we just got done talking about Lumberjanes, which is an all ages book that I'd recommend. I might even buy the trade and try to read it to my niece and see if she likes it.
She's into it, yeah. I'll have to give it to my daughter to read. I'll report back.
Yeah. So. That was a Boom. That's from Boom Studios, and I enjoyed that. I read Big Trouble in Little China from Boom. And this was another good one. Basically took place right after the end of that movie. It's written by John Carpenter and Eric Powell. And the art styles look sort of like Eric Powell art, but
Really?
it's not cut quite refined or as animated. But
Who's the
does it look like
artist?
somebody trying to do Eric Powell art? No, I think it's somebody that's just trying to write comic art that will go with the comic book.
Did he do the layouts or something?
No, it's Brian Cirilla.
I
So,
think I know. I think I've seen his stuff. Pretty
I
sure.
don't I don't I don't know if I've ever seen his art before, but he this story I liked a lot. I thought it did remind where it really reminds you of the show is the dialogue. Like when the guy's actually talking, you can envision his voice, and he likes to talk to the camera a lot or talk to himself in the third person and stuff. And that worked out really well, but he's actually leaving the facility where he took down that villain and Lightning and Thunder and all those characters, and he's going to a wedding. The two main characters that were in the movie are getting married, and one of the demons it kind of like latched on to him because he defeated the demon, so now he's got this sidekick that looks like a huge orangutan, but it's some kind of demon that likes to hang out with him. And then there's another spirit that is after him. So that's how it ends. But I like it. I really like it. It's not my favorite of the Boom stuff, but if you enjoy the movie, which I enjoyed it quite a bit, I think you'll dig the book. I wonder if people would like this if they started to read this and never watched the movie. I don't think they'd like it. Like, I don't think they'd get it
So you need the
because it,
background.
yeah, you don't
Yeah.
get it. It's like watching or reading $6 Million Man season 6 or something like that. You might not know how you even got there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How are the likenesses?
They're pretty. They're a lot alike. That one guy that. He's kind of his sidekick that has that crazy eye that's in Chinatown. I forget. Oh, his name is Egg or Fu. I can't remember what his name is. I think he calls him Egg, but he looks very like the actor that played him, and Jack Russell. The guy draws Jack Russell pretty good. Kurt Russell.
Jack Russell.
His name is
Yeah,
Jack,
I didn't
I
know who
think.
Jack Russell was.
Jack Russell Terrier. He's a Werewolf by Night. Jack Russell.
Hey, Micah, you should know Brian Cirilla.
Why?
He did the DB Cooper series.
Oh, okay.
I was on mute, and I couldn't find the mute button again because I'm eating these popcorn shrimp. I don't want to chew into the microphone. This is truly a geek brunch. Everyone's
Yeah,
eating.
everybody's eating. So that was a good Boom. The Empty Man number one.
I read that.
Yeah, this was a really good one.
Was good.
I'm kind of moving my way up on the like
The
meter
like
as I
list.
go up. This one I love the art.
Oh, fantastic art.
Vanessa Del Rey had done The Hit, which was a fantastic series by Boom. A matter of fact, I liked her art so much, I got a commission from her this year to do The Shadow. She's got a very dark, stylized art that would go good with anything that's in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, it's very like grindhousey, I guess.
Yeah, it's grindhouse. It's really gritty. It's a gritty art style. I like it
Yeah,
a
like
lot.
a rougher, thicker style. It's beautiful though. One thing I can always tell a comic when I really like the art, because in this comic, like it takes me a while to read it, because sometimes I just like stare at a panel to like look at the artwork.
Yeah.
And whenever I can do that, I'm like, oh, this is good art, because it's like it's drawing me into each panel.
This story is really cool too, because these investigators who kind of like CDC slash something, I can't
It
remember,
was
FBI
FBI.
slash CDC, they kind of cross the border. They're investigating a lot of murders, and these murders center around people kind of killing themselves in bizarre ways. And they think it's a virus. So they head to this town where coincidentally there's this weird religious cult that you get introduced to that have these weird symbols. Instead of having a cross, they have this weird, it looks like a Bluetooth symbol or something. But this religious cult is in the background. You don't get to know a lot about them other than something is really fishy with this
Yeah, we're
group.
not sure what the interaction between
We
them,
don't
but
know what the interaction is.
it's more than a cult though, because he's on like he has
Well,
like a
he's on
cable TV
network.
show,
Right,
yeah.
he's on network, which means he has a broad viewership. He's like on 300 network shows and like 80 radio stations or something.
Yeah, like a Jerry Falwell type guy or
Yeah.
whatever.
And one of the scenes you actually see some guy that just gets like one of, you know those things you clean dishes with, like a scrubbing thing? Except it's the steel wool. You know, you can like scrub certain things with it. Not too many pans anymore without damaging the pan, but it's like that steel wool thing that you could buy at the grocery store and clean pans. Well, he's it. The woman comes home and the TV's on and it's on that religious station. It looks sounds like, and she goes upstairs and the guy is just scrubbing his face like he's sinned and he's trying to scrub himself and kind of scrubs himself to death. And then the woman, whatever happens to her afterwards, ends up killing herself as well. And then it shows like incidents around the world and in the area of people just doing weird, bizarre shit and killing themselves. And these two investigators are out there trying to figure out what's happening. Do you got anything else to add to that, Bill?
Well, I should mention the writer is Cullen Bunn,
Oh, yeah.
who does The Sixth Gun, which it's interesting because The Sixth Gun I never really got into. I read a few issues, but it just didn't pull me in. But this did, so I think that in that case, it's just the concept that didn't grab me because certainly the writing in this is really good. And I like the way he kind of structured it, how he like slowly laid out information about the what happened in the past and the future and putting together the case and stuff. It was really well done.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Cullen Bunn is I like his writing and Marvel and all the other stuff he's done. I haven't read The Sixth Gun, but I've read a lot of his other independent stuff and I've enjoyed it. And Marvel work. So yeah, that was a very good read. Let's see what else I got from that publisher. The other ones that I've read is The Woods, number 1 through 3. This I absolutely like. I freaking loved it. It's kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like Lord of the Flies meets the what was that movie? That Stephen King movie with the fog or the mist?
Mist.
Because it's a bunch of high school kids you get introduced to in the first issue, and it's interesting because I think he does a good job. This is James Tynion the IV, art by Michael DeLeonis, and I think the guy's art is amazing for this story. It's freaking phenomenal. But he it's a bunch of different kids. One girl is really upset because her parents are going to kill her because she did not do her college admissions and she's not going to get admitted anywhere, nor does she even want to go to college. You get introduced to this other kid that seems like he doesn't have very many friends and he's in drama club and he's probably gay and he has a friend with a geek who's he seems very pretentious, a pretentious geek, but he is really smart, but he gets rejected by MIT. You get introduced to one of the girl's friends and one of the guys that they're trying to get on the football team just because he's a black guy and he's huge. I mean, he's huge. He could be like the whole line. Like, you could put him at center and you wouldn't be able to get around him. So they. they talk about that guy. They do a really good job of introducing you to the principal and some of the there's one girl that's in the Senate, and she really wants to run the school, and her and the principal clash a lot because she's got that really type A personality where she wants to make things happen for the good of the school. And then the principal's been there like 20 years, and he's kind of laid back, and it doesn't even seem like he likes his job. But they do a really good job, and then at the end of the issue, the freaking whole school gets zapped into this world of like the mist. You're on an alien world, and the school is just there, and there's nothing. There's no other humans around the school, but 600 students or whatever is in that school get zapped to this place. The teachers don't know what the fuck they're gonna do. They're actually in chaos. That Senate leader's kind of forming her own team to try to. She's actually really methodical. Like she's thinking ahead. She's like 5 steps ahead. Like, oh shit, we're gonna run out of food. The kids are stressed. We got these monsters attacking the school. They look like mist monsters. They've already killed like 3 students by just coming into the school and biting them. And then that real smart kid says, "We need to leave the school. We need to leave it immediately." And he forms a band around some of those kids that I just mentioned and takes them on an adventure outside of the school. And chaos is happening in the school. Absolutely love this series. I mean, I got sucked into the world, and as each issue came on, it just built and built and built, and the characterizations of the characters just built and built and built, and it's exactly the story that I like. I like latched on, and the school is weird because the principal, actually, who's running the school is the coach, and he is vile, and he's using the principal to be the voice, and the principal doesn't know what he's doing, but he has like that the Senate leader locked in a gym locker. You know how those they have in high school, they have those sports cages where they keep all the sports equipment. Well, he's got her locked in that cage because she was trying to figure out how to grow crops, how to figure out how to handle the poop. There's no water. So there's like shit all over the place, backing up in the bathrooms. She was thinking like, how do we do this? How do we survive? The teachers had no freaking clue. They were just all the teachers were thinking is how do we get back to Earth? They weren't thinking about how to survive, whereas the girl was trying to lead them to, using her survival skills to say, okay, how are we gonna survive on this amount of food? What do we have for weapons? This kind of thing. But the group that went off into the woods, the smart guy took the guy that the huge guy that they wanted on the football team for his strength. He took one kid that was into guns because he had weapons in his locker and he knew he did. And that guy's pretty badass. I mean, that kid that he's got, he gets bit in the arm by some weird mosquito and his arm's all fucked up and it's infected and a bunch of butterflies come out of it. Or not even butterflies, they look like other kind of parasitic creatures. But he actually let them sleep one night because he'd kill the bugs before they affected any of the people that were there. And man, this series is just, I can't. I can't. I would love to see this as an animated series or something. It would just. It's so good. I know you read it, Bill, and you didn't seem to
Yeah,
latch onto it like I
I
did.
read number one and I liked it. It's not that I didn't like it. The art was good and I like the story up until the point where they get zapped to the other world. And I can't
Oh, that's
remember.
what's so good is they don't know how to survive and.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just that I'm trying to remember exactly what didn't hit me about it. I think it might be just that it happened so quickly and like the time between people, between them being zapped to this world and them figuring out what they want to do, I thought was too quick. Like I think it should have been drawn out a little bit more. So I think it was the pacing that kind of threw me off a little bit.
And I think it was good enough. I thought they had paced it so you got introduced to the main cast. You knew about all the kids that are the main characters. You knew what was bothering them, what was trouble. They had one guy that
Yeah, I think they did a good job of the upfront part
they
of
had one
setting
kid
characters up.
in the up front that was streaking in the school. He just was like running around naked, and the principal had to tackle him and confine him. And as soon as they stopped the streaker, that's when the school got ported into this other world. And I really loved it. I thought it was really good. So I'd highly recommend The Woods. That was like one of the ones I really loved. The other one I read is Protocol Orphans, which is a little bit older. And I read number one, but I read two, three, and four. And that's like a James Bond type thing, except it has tiers of leadership. You got your grandparents, you got your dad and your mom, who are kind of leaders of the orphans, and the orphans are your agents. And this tells you an adventure of these agents that are trying to stop this Black Friday thing from happening, which is to take down actually take down the organization and actually cause chaos with spending in the financial system. So, man, all I could say about this is the adrenaline rush and the agents are like really cool. You got two agents that are that love each other that can't show their love. They actually show their love, but they have to do it behind their back because that's rule number one. You can't have a relationship. You got one guy that's got a devilish side to him and he's not good. And if you read the series through the end, you'll see that he's not one of the good agents. And then you got these other the a girl that's like their tech, like she's incredibly smart. And then another guy that's just pretty much badass, like he just like a super agent that knows how to survive and is best friends with that crooked agent. So it is so fast paced. The art and the story, sometimes you get an artist and a story that just works so damn good together, and it was just an adrenaline rush. So I'd highly recommend that one. Protocol Orphans is by Michael Alan Nelson and Mariano Navarro. So highly recommend that. And the last one I want to talk about was my absolute favorite. And I didn't expect it to be my favorite, but it was, and it was Evil Empire. This story is like there's a lot of talking and stuff that goes in on this story, and it involves a dystopian future, and it actually opens up with a dystopian future where some handicapped vet looks like he's getting beat up, and some guy tries to save him, and then he gets beat up by these weird-looking cops, futuristic cops, that almost want to enforce chaos. And so you get introduced into this world, and it's an awful world. And then you get the flashbacks into the past of how we got there. And it starts with two guys that are running for president, a Republican and a Democrat. And it focuses on a African American rap star that actually writes rap lyrics about the about politics and not liking them and stuff like that. Well, one of the dudes running for president is totally into family, you know, gotta be family, blah blah blah. But he ends up his wife ends up getting killed with a knife to the head. Well, that knife to the head is key important. It's a lyric to the song of the rapper. And the other politician, before even the murder happens, is trying to get in close with this rapper, actually form a relationship, even though she hates politicians. And he's actually forming a relationship with her. But this knife to the head, the daughter comes in, sees her mom with a knife to the head, and she's dead. And she talks to her, you know, I apologize, daughter, I treated you bad, blah, blah, blah. She dies. Well, the father actually killed the wife. And he came out in public and said, I'm leaving the party. I basically took a knife to my wife's head because she used to abuse my child. and I had every right to kill her, and I think every one of you should have a right to do what you think is just. And this little incident makes him like a celebrity as he goes to prison. And man, it's just fascinating. This series is so damn good. Just 2 issues in so far, and I'm sucked into it.
There's only two issues? I thought that came out like a while ago.
No, it's 2 issues. Max Bemis and Ransom Getty are doing it. The art is amazing too.
Yeah. 'Cause, yeah. I read the first one. But I thought that was a while ago, though. Maybe it's just taking a while in
Issue
between
three,
issues.
maybe.
Yeah, I remember. I enjoyed it a lot too. That's the. Is that the like say anything guy or something? He's in some band.
Max Bemis, I think, is. I'd have to Google him, but he sounds so damn familiar to me.
Yeah, he did that other series that I liked that I can't remember the name of. Son of a bitch. Don't know. Yeah, I think he's one of the musical guys who's writing comics now. There's a few of them.
Yeah, I really enjoy it, and I kind of you talked about a book last episode that I pretty much missed, A Clockwork something or another, and
Oh,
that
the Russian
actually
one.
sounded pretty good, like, but I missed the boat on that one, so I don't know, but I read so much Boom that I liked, like, that I added some more to my order this month, some new number ones, because
You're a boomaholic now.
I took them off my order because I was getting too much, and then I said,
Hurry
shit,
out
what
of
if
them.
I miss this stuff, you know?
Let's see, what's Boom bringing out? They're bringing out a book with, about people coming back from the dead called The Returning.
Hey, this order form had the butterfly, which I ordered, which sounds pretty interesting, and there was another one. One of them was more super heroics and one was not. But yeah, I've just right now I before we started the podcast, I was reading Image Agents. Oh no, Imagine Agents, which is about imaginary friends, the world that is created around imaginary friends, and these guys are like
I was looking at the wrong month for Boom. Boom's not bringing out The Returning. That's old comic. Oh, they're bringing out a yeah. Butterfly has that Fuso who did a Cobra. He's doing the art.
Oh, yeah,
So that
Fuso
should be
who did a
good.
G.I. Joe Cobra, yeah.
Yeah, so that should be awesome.
Yep, so yeah, I added some more to my list, but
Yeah, I usually get the Boom, like independent stuff. Like the creator-owned Boom stuff.
I wasn't disappointed with Lumberjanes, Big Trouble, Empty Man, Evil Empire, The Woods, and Protocol Orphans. They're all really good. Matter of fact, I rated Evil Empire, The Woods, and Protocol Orphans 5 out of 5s, which
Nice.
to me is not a perfect book. Well, 5 out of 5 to me means I love it. It's the Netflix rating. I love to read that book. I like the Netflix ratings because there's no ambiguity. It just says, did you love it? Did you really like it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Or did you hate it? So yeah, I really love those.
Which ones did you give 5 out of 5 to?
I gave 5 out of 5 to The Woods, Evil Empire, and Protocol Orphans.
Okay.
I gave a 4 out of 5 to Empty Man, but you got to remember that I read a lot of these that I'm giving 5 out of 5s to in more than one issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Empty Man, I only had one issue.
I would give Empty
So
Man a 5 out of 5.
If I had read more Empty Man, I might have given it a 5 out of 5.
I go to 5 out of 5 on solely based on the first issue.
Yeah, that's really good. Vanessa Del Rey, there are some really, really good female artists right now, I tell you. Really good artists. A lot of them are drawing Red Sonja covers, believe it or not, because it seems like Red Sonja, written by Gail Simone,
Because they're pulling in the
It,
women to
they're
do that.
pulling in the w
Yeah.
they don't have any men doing the covers anymore. You got Stephanie Buscema. I can't remember all the artists, but
Frisson.
they're doing. What's her
Frisson.
first name?
Jenna.
Frisson?
Jenny.
Jenny Frisson? Yeah. So, yeah, good stuff. Evil Empire blew my mind. When I first opened it, I was like, oh, yeah, it is the Say Anything's lead singer. You got it.
Yeah, I thought so.
It,
But
uh, the
I've
same the
never
same
heard Say
guy.
Anything before, so and I
The
probably hate the band, so but I
well,
like
I know Say Anything as the movie, the John
the
Cusack
Yeah, I
movie.
know the movie. It was written by John Cusack.
But he also wrote Polarity. I think you
That's
read
it,
that
Polar.
one.
Yeah, that was really good too.
But I almost want to check out Polarity now because I love when the writer's words just work well in my brain, and then I love when the writing and the art work together to tell a story that I and it flows. There was nothing
Or
that
took out.
vectored my thought. I was in the stories, and I didn't think about anything else but the story. That's why I love it.
Cool.
And just one other shout out before I hand over the reins. I highly recommend to people that like to read weird romance, like romance comics crack me up because they're written by men in the 50s and 60s, written and drawn by men who kind of told women how to treat their man, how they should act. Which I don't believe is right or anything, but from an historical perspective of reading the comics, it's very fascinating. It's sometimes humorous. It's very weird. And they're reprinting them. IDW is reprinting a book called Weird Love. And this guy, I don't know his first name, but he does. He's Yo. His first
Oh, Craig Yeo.
Craig Yo tends to gather collections of comics and put them together for IDW, and this Weird Love is published by him, and you get like stuff from like Quality Comics, Charlton Comics, just a bunch of collections of stories, and they were all really, really good. I really enjoyed that. I talked about it a lot in Retrocast because there were stories from the 50s and the 60s, but
Are
very.
they're bringing that out in single issues?
Yeah, single issues. This oh, you it took me an hour and 10 minutes to read it. Really dense. Really dense. You get your money's worth.
They tend to be wordy.
Of the stories, I really enjoyed all of them. There were like six or seven stories, except for one, and the one that I didn't like wasn't because it wasn't good. It was just so dense. It took me so long to read it, and it was just
Here's a book with pictures.
Yeah, it they didn't let the art tell the story at all. It was just a lot of words. They could have cut that story in half, and it would have been like the other stories, and I think a lot more effective than losing me as a reader. But I'd highly recommend these Craig Yeo books. This was my first Craig Yeo book, and I'll be looking to pick them up more now that I know what it is. He does it for horror and other genres as well. The other one is from Action Lab, Dry Spell. This was a really good book. I haven't been getting a lot from Action Lab. I've gotten The Plague, The Final Plague. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Ghost Town. There's been a couple that haven't been my cup, but this one is. And very much, I love Buzzkill from Dark Horse. This kind of is in that vein. This is about a hero that doesn't want to be a hero anymore, and kind of like works for an office. And some guy actually finds out
So
that
figures out who he is.
he's the superhero. And one of the big things he does, he says, "We're going out tonight with a bunch of buddies, and I really would like you there." And he invites him there, and he finds out that the drug turns him into this person, and he actually spikes his drink. But the other thing that's interesting about this is he kind of brings him into a fraternity of people with powers. One of them he knows, which is one of the girls he knows, and the other ones I think he's aware of. But I think it's going to be an interesting book. Did you like it?
I read the this came out as a trade, like a self-published trade by the author like several years ago.
Oh, so this isn't original to the Danger Zone.
No, they're reprinting it.
Ken Kreckler,
Okay, Crackler.
he does the story and the art, so it falls it right into Bill's wheelhouse where he likes people that do
Yeah, he
both.
did Ken Crackler. He's doing oh shit, what is it called? Westward right now, which is kind of a steampunky book, which is really good. He did Dry Spell, and he also did the I can't I don't know how to pronounce it, the Colloden or Colloden Project, which is really good too. But of all his stuff so far, Dry Spell is my favorite. That story is I gotta read it again because it's so damn awesome.
Yeah, it's coming out in single issues right now, so
Yeah, I'm glad that they're reprinting it so it gets hopefully like a wider distribution.
I
I
like
don't.
his art style too. Really, really solid storytelling art. It that goes with this type of story,
Yeah.
Very reminiscent of the Buzzkill story.
Darker though.
Yeah, it's a darker art style.
Story is darker too. Oh, I haven't read all the Buzzkill, so I
No,
don't know if
Buzzkill is
anything's
pretty
pretty dark. Yeah.
freaking dark.
I started to read the Buzzkill trade, but I think I read the first couple issues of it so far.
Didn't work for you, huh?
No, I love it. I just haven't had time to finish it.
So that's what kills me is like you either forget about it, your method is just
I don't usually forget, only occasionally.
it's easy to do. Did I read that? I don't know. Well, I guess if you don't remember it, it's probably not a good
Buzzkill,
idea
I
to try
remembered,
it.
and I've got the trade. I just have to finish reading it. I love the art in Buzzkill. Oh,
That
damn,
was
that art's awesome.
another 5 out of 5 book for me, Buzzkill. I absolutely loved it. So, tell me what you guys been reading.
I got some stuff, which let's see. I'll start with an awesome one. I don't know if you read this yet, Mike. Hopefully you got it. Nailbiter from Image.
Yeah, I've got it. I haven't read about it. I know the premise.
Oh, damn, it's fantastic. So this is written by Joshua Williamson with art by Mike Henderson. And it starts out where kind of in the past where they were arresting this guy called the Nailbiter who he would kidnap people who like bit their nails, like if he saw people biting their nails, he'd kidnap target them and kidnap them and let their fingernails grow out, and then he would start at their fingernails and eat them and then eat all of them. So he's a serial killer, but they captured him, so now in the present story he's in jail. But there's been these other murders, so they're investigating these other murders. And oh no, I know what it is. So in the investigation of this guy in the past, the officers who were working on it, one of them kind of got burnt out by the case, and he learned that this ki serial killer came from this town, which I can't remember the name of the town. Oh, here we go, Buckaroo, Oregon, where apparently there was something like 16 serial killers have come from this town. So he went to this town to investigate this to figure out why the heck all these serial killers are coming from this one town, and he goes missing. So his ex-partner from back when they caught the nail biter guy goes to the town to try and find him, and now he's doing this investigation in this town, and it's kind of going deeper into the history of this town and stuff. So it was really, really good. So if you're into, it's kind of like if you liked Empty Man, it's kind of a similar type story. It was
Sounds
really good, though.
interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
I am really behind in all my independence for the most part.
Yeah, I give that one. That one's a 5 out of 5 for me. I loved it. Here's another one that's good. I don't know if you read this one, Mike. The Blood Queen from Dynamite.
Oh, I did read that.
This is one that it kind of threw me off at first because in looking at the cover and the logo and the name of the book, I swear it looks like a Grimm Fairy Tales book.
It does look like a Zenoscope book.
It's like, and then I look, oh, it's Dynamite. It's not Zenoscope. Weird. So this is about, it takes place in, I don't know, fantasy land. So there's kings and queens
Kind of
and,
like a Camelot type
yeah.
setting.
And it starts out where the king sets out this knight to find this elder. I don't know if she's a witch or what. She's kind of like a nature witch of some sort. This old witch who trains all the women in their village or whatever. In the, it's not the. Is she a witch? They didn't really say what she was, I don't think. But anyway, a
They're
spiritualist of some sort.
spiritualist kind of witches, I think. Healers.
Yeah, healers. Yeah, so I guess they're like spiritual
They're like
healers.
spiritual healers. They're kind of like doctors, but they're more into the, I guess, naturalists and magic type
Yeah,
healers.
nature and
And she's
making
an older
potions and stuff.
healer, and
Yeah,
she.
so they come to get her because the king wants her because his daughter is sick. His baby daughter is sick. So he sends a knight out to get the old master spiritual healer. And she says, you don't want me to go. You want this other girl because she's better than me. And he's like, what? No, I need to take you. She's like, no, trust me. Take her. So he takes this younger woman back.
Very good looking woman.
Yes, this very attractive woman who all the
Matter of
men.
fact, the knight that's taking her back, kind of like his jaw just drops.
Pretty much every man in the story who meets her like hits on her. Because he did, and then that like the younger or the blonde dude was hitting on her.
Yeah.
The king's aide or whatever. So she goes to she sees the baby and she determines that witchcraft was used on the baby, so she needs so she tries to heal the baby using her natural ways. And then they realize there's some big conspiracy going on in the that it was probably an inside job, and there's a big conspiracy going on in this place. So I liked it. I thought it was really good.
It was a very unusual number one in the fact that it almost told a complete story. And yeah, there's some open-ended questions, like the older healer has some hidden agenda, and
Right, because the younger,
the younger
yes.
one has she knows about the agenda, so there's that
Right.
theme, but the story itself resolves itself.
Yeah, the thing with the baby was resolved
The
within this
thing with the
issue.
baby's resolved, the villain. One of the villains is resolved.
But we don't know
It
who he was working for.
right. You pretty much though get. You could read it like as a done in one and pretty much be satisfied, I think.
Yeah, it was definitely it was a complete story within itself, but it laid enough little breadcrumbs for these other stories, or that it'll be interesting to see going on where they lead to. So I thought it was really good. It was written by Troy Brownfield and illustrated by Fritz Casas. Casa. And I liked it. I liked the art too. I thought it was good. It was a well done issue. I enjoyed it. And we still don't
Yeah,
know,
it
who the Blood Queen is.
one thing I'll say about the Dynamite is usually the cover artist doesn't match the interiors, but I think for this story, the art style was at least very, very similar. What you get inside is kind of looks like what you get outside.
Yeah. Although with variant, I mean with variant with Dynamite, you never know because there's like 400 co covers for every issue.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a lot. So interesting. And I don't know who the Blood Queen is, if it's going to be that girl or what.
Or I want, yeah, if it's gonna
Or
be that
whoever's,
girl
or
or
is she behind it all?
whoever's behind that thing.
Yeah, the villain.
Yeah.
That could be. I also read from Image The Wicked and the Divine, number one. This is by I can't find. I can't remember his first name. Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, who do Phonograph, and they did some other stuff together. Phonogram, and something else they've done. So this is interesting. It was an interesting book. First off, the art is awesome. I like McKelvey's art a lot. He's a very clean style, and he has a knack for faces. So it's a very beautiful book. But this is about, it seems to be about these pop stars who are gods. Like, for some reason, gods are coming down to Earth and becoming pop stars to, I don't know why, to get attention, I guess. It's kind of still mysterious at this point.
That's the plot of a Daft Punk movie. Interstellar 5555. I'm not even joking.
Is that Daft Punk?
Yeah.
Has a movie?
Mm-hmm. Come out in the 80s or 90s.
Daft Punk is the one where they have images.
The robot heads.
The robot heads sing, yep. But it's really some fat dude.
No, it's those two dudes.
I didn't think they were those two dudes. They never show their faces, right?
No, I've seen their faces. It's, yeah.
Yeah, they're just the front, though, because it's really just a fat dude behind his computer.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was a fat dude behind his computer.
No.
They revealed it. They, I guess, actually showed it in one of the award shows.
Yeah, but that's not the entire story. It's not it. But yeah.
And, because there's the children in China that they're using to produce the stuff, too.
Absolutely.
They do the layering and editing.
I don't like Daft Punk. I've
honestly never heard them before. So yeah. I've seen cosplayers of Daft Punk at cons before.
Well, my nephew loves them, or loves the dude. I don't know what to call him, but
the fat dude.
I tried to like it. And then the more I listened to it, the more I didn't like it. So I was like, it's just not for me. But they're popular. They sell a lot of copies of stuff for in a time where music industry has kind of gone down the toilet.
That's what they say, but there's still millionaires out there. Anyway, so back to this. Yeah, and I don't know how closely. That's my description of it is my current understanding of the story. They don't really reveal everything in this first issue, and it's told kind of from the perspective of this one girl who is in love with the band, and she gets taken like backstage after the show, and meets this one girl, who appears to have. Oh, so they. When she's backstage, or I guess she's like at their hotel room, so they're all sitting around the hotel room, and these quote-unquote gods are getting interviewed by someone from Rolling Stone or whatever. And then bullets start flying in the window, and they start getting shot, and one of the god women snaps her fingers and kills the dudes who were shooting at them. And then the next thing, it jumps to court, where she's in court, and being tried for this, and then there's a twist at the end. So it was really good. It was very interesting, and the art was awesome. So I'm on board with that one as well. Good stuff.
What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to wait for the trade, or you're on board?
I'm going to get the trade when it comes out.
Okay. If you remember.
You keep saying that. I always remember. I have my comic books I can remember. Whether I need to pick the kids up or not, I might forget. I got one more. Another 5 out of 5. Clive Barker's Next Testament. Written by Mark Miller with art by Jaime Yang.
Is this a single issue or the whole thing?
This was volume one of the trade, or volume one trade, one of two, I believe. Which sucks because now I have to wait. I think the next trade doesn't come out till like February or something. Son of a bitch. The one downside of waiting for the trade, the waiting part. I talked about the first issue of this in the past. So this is, I think the concept is by Clive Barker, and it's actually written by, the credits are written by Clive Barker and Mark Miller, so I guess they wrote it together. And this is Mark Miller with an E, not an A. So this is about, it starts out with this, I think he's like an archaeologist or professor, older guy, who has this dream, this vision, that he needs to go out into the desert and dig in a certain spot to discover something. So he's kind of being told he needs to do this in this dream. So he quits his job or whatever and goes and does this, and he digs down and discovers like this pyramid underneath the ground. So he keeps digging and digging and digging. And he digs out this, the top of this pyramid, and then I can't remember if he goes inside of it or if it opens. I think it just opens up, and this creature, this dude comes out who's like all made up of all these weird colors and kind of glowing. And he says that he's God, that, and well, he says he's God, and it, where does it go after that? I think he wants to, he says he wants to, oh, he kills a bunch of people in the desert, so to prove that he is, he throws a bunch of people up into the air and then brings them down, and they all start falling down and splattering on the ground. And he says, here, let me read it here. So he says, let's begin. You will show me this world through your eyes. When I am ready, I will announce myself, and the world will rejoice. It will have no other option. So it's kind of this dude who claims he's God and has all these powers and came from this pyramid underground is now going to basically force the world to worship him. And it's fantastic.
Sounds a little bit like God is Dead, except in God is Dead, there's a bunch of gods that are doing that.
Yeah, it's told differently than God is Dead, though. Which I did read God is Dead. Yeah, I guess it is similar in that in both these books, gods are coming down and demanding worship. And in this one, it's interesting because, so in this one, he like looks through, he's given a Bible and he looks through the Bible and the stories in like the Old Testament and he's telling them, oh no, this isn't what happened. This is what actually happened. And this isn't what happened here. So it's pretty funny. And he says that his story is that he says, because he says the Godhead is a Trinity and who the two other members are who you call Jesus and the Holy Ghost, but they go by it, but their actual names are different names. And that he's kind of, I don't know if he's banned. I can't remember what he says, if he was like banished or whatever, but for some reason he was taken from the, from the world and locked away somewhere, and they, and then so this Jesus and the Holy Ghost creatures have been kind of running things, but he doesn't like the way things have been done, so now he wants to see how things are now, and then he decides that he doesn't like it and he's going to change it all up. So there's lots of, this could actually have been an Avatar book because there's lots of gore. God kills people in gruesome fashion in this book. But it's wonderful. Fantastic. I love it. Love it.
A lot of 5 out of 5s.
5 out of 5.
Well, I had 3 of them and you had 3?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, you gave Blood Queen a 5 out of 5 too?
No, Empty Man.
Oh, Empty Man. That's right.
Well, actually, no, I got 3. Yeah, 3. Wicked and Divine, I would give 4 out of 5.
Okay.
So I got Nailbiter, Empty Man, and Next Testament.
Matter of fact, I'm going to tweet Max Bemis right now and just say, damn! Evil Empire is fucking awesome. And I did check on the Evil Empire in number 3, 4, and 5. It must be running really behind because I have an accumulation inside of my unshipped items on DCBS of that
Okay.
title.
Yeah, I swear the first one was a while ago.
Yeah, which is a shame because my mind is in that mode. Do you know what I mean? I want to
Yeah,
read.
you would have read through the whole series if you hadn't.
I would have kept going. Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of good books. Micah, what do you got?
A mute button. All right,
Mute
so
button. And it works.
it works very well. I can just talk and talk and talk, and you won't hear a word of it. Okay, let's see. So first thing I have is, I don't know what numbers they are, but I read a couple issues of Blood Syndicate, which is a milestone book from the 90s, because I felt like rereading them again. And so, what Blood Syndicate is, I guess, overall in the Milestone universe, what happens is, the police and I forget her name, Mommy Dearest or whatever, some weird old lady, and a bunch of like bad guys have this conspiracy thing where they're gonna start a giant gang war and then gas everybody in town. And instead of killing everyone, it turns a lot of people into mutants, more or less. And so Dakota is now overrun with mutants, including all the gang members who survived, because most of them actually just died. So, Blood Syndicate is
Isn't
just.
there a dog too that could talk or something?
Yeah, there's a dog that can talk now. He's part of the gang. He was Tech Nine's dog. So. And I wonder how long Tech Nine's been around. Because I wonder if the rapper got his name from that or something else. Hard to tell. There's a real life rapper named Tech Nine, spelled slightly differently, but no, he's been around since 90. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, that's cool. It's probably a coincidence. But anyway, so one of the gangs, the Blood, there are a couple different groups of gangs, but they combined into one gang, and that's Blood Syndicate. And so this is kind of their story. In the first story arc, what you get is them trying to figure out what exactly happened, and some journalist tags along with them for a while, and they go to this police headquarters and they find the stuff, and they not police headquarters, a hospital, and they find everything that was going on, and they're like, "Oh, it is a conspiracy." And so then the reporter sells them out by not running the story because she's a coward, and this is what happens in real life. Because cowards walk away, like a punk that she was. And so I'd have shot her, but they didn't shoot her because they were trying to be good guys. So anyway, the part of the story I read takes place right after this, and they're still running missions. Their new goal was to figure out what happened to one of the members who was Brick. She's a giant brick, but she can't. She's like a person made of bricks, but she can't remember anything about her life. And so they're trying to go back through and figure out what happened to her. And during the course of this, they run through a secret warehouse and they fight a bunch of stuff. And you get to meet who's act the person who's actually like the big bad of the book, who's this old lady who everyone calls her mom or something like that, and is terrifyingly creepy.
Like in Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Just like very similar to that. It's this creepy old
Mama.
lady, and everybody's freaked out by
Mama.
her.
Mama.
And she just shoots people in the head and then says things like, dang it, because she can't swear, because that goes against whatever her makeup is. And so we do all this work, and the leader of the group dies at the end of the story, and everybody freaks out. And so that's when the book kind of takes a different direction. Oh, excuse me. And everything kind of shifts from that point on because once Tech Nine dies, spoiler, everyone kind of goes in these weird directions, and the group is having a more difficult time holding itself together. Like, Dog doesn't want to be around because Dog was Tech Nine's dog before the whole thing went down. And What's Her Face starts using drugs because it's hard for him. It's harder because there's no one to keep her in line anymore. And, a bunch of other words, like Fade is not actually a very good leader, and it's a whole bunch of nonsense. Why Son? No, like Why Son is in charge, and that's a terrible idea. And so there's a whole bunch of weird things that happen from that point on, And like so, Blood Syndicate might be my favorite comic of all time. It's very close to it because it's telling like two really good stories all at once. You have this weird gang story, which is told in a perspective that you don't get in comic books ever, like literally ever. There's never been a story like that before or afterwards. And you get this really bizarre, like super 90s action superhero book at the exact same time.
What issues were they that you read? Did you start with one and move your way
I
forward
started
again?
at one, but most this like this past week I read like s seven and eight, maybe 8 or 9. I don't remember because I just keep hitting the next button, and so I don't have to worry about which ones it is. Let's see. I can actually tell you in a second here. Yeah, I read up to issue 9 because that's where we got random Chinese demons. So, I have forgotten about the random Chinese demon that shows up. Yeah.
And it went for 34 issues,
Yep.
it looks like.
35.
35.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to get a complete run of that. I
Yeah,
need to get a complete
I'm gonna
run of all
start
the
work
milestones.
on that because I got a shout out. I don't know if he listens to the show, but Facebook friend Andrew Sharpar, who's an artist, he actually knew he follows me on Facebook, must read my tweets, knew I was looking for Strangers Annual number 1 because it was the last issue I needed to complete my Ultraverse,
Okay.
and he sent me that book and didn't want anything in return. But here's the other thing he sent me. He sent me a drawing he did of Big Barda and Darkseid and as a commission, and it was awesome. It was so awesome. So
Awesome.
he also
Nice.
knows I love Big
He
Barda.
knows you
So
well, yeah.
yeah, I was like, wow, that was like a huge treat. I almost got in an accident because I told Barb to open up the package while we were driving to Buffalo Wild Wings yesterday, and she said, "There's art in here," and I'm like, "What? What?" And I'm like driving, and she pulls it out, and she says, "Who's this?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, that's Big Barda." And she said, "Keep your eyes on the road." But that was really, really cool. But now that I finished the complete run of the Ultraverse, I want to go back and try to finish the milestone, which I don't have a lot of. I have a lot of hardware, a lot of static. Some icon, but I don't think I have any blood
Blood
syndicate
Syndicate,
except
yeah.
for maybe the first issue.
They're not hard to pick up.
Yeah, I know they're not expensive.
That's the good thing about 90s books, is that even if it was a smaller 90s book, they made a hell of a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think I have all of Icon and a lot of Static. Not so much of the others.
I have
I
all of
do
it.
here. This will make you jealous, Micah. I do have a hardware. No, Blood Syndicate. Sorry, Blood Syndicate. Is that what you're talking about? Blood Syndicate? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a Blood Syndicate painting, like full color painting by Ross Campbell that
Oh, wow.
I picked up on. I picked up on eBay for ridiculously cheap long many years back.
Ross Campbell drew Blood Syndicate?
It was just
A commission?
I don't know if it was a commission or if he just liked it and did it. I don't know what the history. I think it was actually for a charity or something that he did it for. Like
Nice.
commission for a charity auction.
Well, that's cool because that's your one of your favorite artists.
I know.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that familiar with Blood Syndicate. I had only had a couple issues of it, but I knew it was
You
Milestone.
should
Like
take a picture of that
Milestone.
and post it.
Yeah,
I'd like I'd actually like to see it.
I'll take one and throw it up on the Facebook.
I love looking at art.
Oh, speaking of art,
Nice.
oh, am I cutting you off, Micah?
No.
Speaking of art, I went to a con yesterday. It was just at a library. They have it every year at this one library near me, where they have it's small. They only have I think there was two comic shops, like set up as dealers, and then they had a pretty big artist alley, probably about 20 different creators there, all local people. And I picked up some stuff that I was interested in there. But there's one dude at the table, and I'm walking by, and he has some original art on the table. And I look at one, and there's like this, it's a, what do you call it when there's animals and anthropomorphic? Is that what it is?
Anthropomorphic, yes.
Yeah, so it's anthropomorphic comic, and there's this big black bird guy. And I was like, I think that's Eben the Raven. Do you remember, have you ever heard of that, Eben the Raven, Mike? Oh, did we lose Mike?
No. I haven't heard of it.
It was one that came out like in the 80s, like around when there was the big independent black and white boom, and a lot of anthropomorphic comics coming out, like after Turtles became popular.
That was one of those. Okay, yeah.
That's probably why I didn't know about it, because I tried to avoid those like the. I mean, I regret it now, especially with Ninja Turtles, but
they stayed away from those.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to read about animals that look like humans. I don't know.
Talking animals? No, not my thing.
Yeah, not my thing.
Turtles that are ninjas, that's not going to go anywhere. Pass.
What is that goofy stuff? Now I'm reading Ninja Turtles.
So he had this. So the dude had this art, and I look at it. And then he also, on his table, had like an Eben the Raven, like number one, sitting there. And the pages were $10 each. So I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. So I started looking through them, and I ended up picking up these three pages that were like in a row. It's like this fight scene between Eben the Raven and this like ox guy. So I was like, awesome. So now I own some Eben the Raven original art of all the weird, all the things I never expected to see at a library convention. I guess the guy does a strip now called the Night, I think it's the Night Watchman, like Night with a K, which I guess is being serialized in Savage Dragon, because they, you know, at the back of Savage Dragon singles, they do like some comic strips. So it's being serialized in there now.
Chris Ecker?
Yeah, Chris Ecker. That's the dude.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It only had two issues.
Of which?
Eben the Raven.
It was I thought it had like six issues.
Published from Crowquill. It's only two, according to my database, 1985.
I think you're wrong. I think your database is.
Well, there's Eben. There's Eben that ran six issues. From that actually went from some publisher to Now Comics, and then there's Eben the Raven.
Okay.
So I think you're thinking of the one. It's actually listed twice. One's called Eben the Raven, and one's called Eben. And Eben is the, doesn't have the raven on the cover. Just says Eben. Looks like he meets Howard the Duck in issue number 6. I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, some kind of a duck.
Yeah, he looks like Howard.
So that was cool. Yeah, so it was a cool, little... I like a nice free library con where there's surprises.
So Eben the Raven was Crowquill, and then I guess he became popular enough. He went to Now Comics.
To Now, yeah. Oh, yeah, Now.
Which was probably like his self-published company.
The first one,
1985, yeah. And then I guess when people saw his work, in 1986, he went over to Now.
I'm not seeing that other one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, my database is all comprehensive.
the original. I don't know what those two Eben the Raven issues are.
That's probably because, you didn't know they existed. In other words, they were self-published.
Yeah, but it looks like the first two of Eben were self-published as well, so.
Huh.
I'm not seeing them anywhere. Interesting. Anyway. Yeah, so that
well, maybe that's what happened. He published the first two as Eben, and then it became Now after. That's probably what happened. One and two were his own
right,
published.
They were his own. Oh, so it lists them twice because it was a different publisher.
One and two were his own published stuff, and then Now took over with issue three.
Yeah.
So I bet you see in the cover of issue 3, 4, 5, and 6 Now on it.
Yeah.
And then the first two, there's no. There's
right,
Croquill in the upper left hand corner.
Yeah. And I do have Eben 1 and 2. I don't have the Now ones. I'll have to pick those up. I'm sure I can get them for very cheap.
Very cheap, but probably real obscure. In other words.
Well, the good thing about like comics back then, even though it was obscure, they probably sold more comic copies of that than a lot of the stuff that's made today. Like obscure back then was probably like 10,000 copies or more.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Like, there's like a lot of books that are old and obscure that you can find. It's not hard to find them. God, the good old days. The book only sold 300,000 copies. Get rid of it.
Yep, the good old days when there's like four comic shops in every town.
Yep.
Or you could drive to like six comic shops in a small area.
Yeah, for very fine condition, you can get them for 90 cents on comic on mycomicshop.com.
There you go.
Some of them are $1.10.
So did you guys see any movies?
Hold on, I'm not done with comics, nerds.
Yeah, we broke up his.
Oh yeah.
His.
So any of you guys read any comics?
I've also read the Usagi Yojimbo Color Special that came out last week, the week before last week, 3 weeks ago. I don't know how long ago it was. And so, Stan Sakai's been on. He's been on not vacation. He was on break from Usagi Yojimbo, doing 47 Ronin and various other life issues and so forth. And so,
I was gonna say that's no vacation he's on.
Yeah, he's not on any vacation. And so,
his wife is ill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's having a rough time
from Usagi Yojimbo, and so this is the first issue in maybe a year. I'm not entirely certain how long. It's been a while, though. So, and this is a color special. And so it's two short stories and one slightly longer story. Three short stories. I forgot one of them's like 2 pages long. So it's really good, by the way. It's Stan Sakai. He does all the stories and all the art. And it looks gorgeous, as it always does. And then the coloring is done by, I should have had this figured out by now, some dude I don't know.
What is the issue?
Tom Luth. It's Usagi Yojimbo Color Special. And it's the fifth one he's done. Every now and then they do a special in color. So there's the first story, which is Usagi is just doing his thing, walking around like he does. And there's a little festival going on. I'm not sure if it's a full-on thing, but like people are singing, they're doing rice picking out in their fields, having a good time. And then these little children are playing, and they run past Usagi, and he accidentally touches swords with another samurai, which is an offense. Like, you don't let your sword touch another dude's sword for reasons.
You don't cross streams.
No, you don't want to do that. And so this dude, where most people, though, let the thing slide because it isn't that big a deal. Like, it's bad manners, but nothing to die over. This dude was just being a prick and wanted to kill somebody. And so, and the first story involves Usagi fighting him and beating him up and then telling him about himself. And then you get more songs. And that was a cute story. The second story is an adorable story where Usagi is hanging out with his nephew. And this little kid, who's been around forever and has not aged, I don't think, a day, is telling him how he can be a good swordsman. And Usagi's like, no, I'd rather you not do that. And he wants to put a plum on Usagi's nose and then cut it off of his nose. And so instead of that happening, they pick a plum and stick it onto a pumpkin. And the little kid goes to demonstrate his sword skills and splatters pumpkin guts everywhere. And that would have been Usagi's head. And it's cute. It's just a two-page cute story, and I like it a lot. And then there's another story about Usagi trying to get a peaceful night's sleep. And instead of being able to go to sleep, he is stuck dealing with these spirits come to life, and they're playing out, essentially playing out a ghost story while he's trying to sleep. And what happens is he has to go around and figure out how to get this ghost some rest. And he figures it out, and it's very cute, and it's a good story. But the bulk of the story is this last piece where there's an artist who's in town, and there are these assassins who are trying to kill him. And he basically meets up with Usagi, and they run around, and Usagi's protecting him. But he doesn't know the full story, and it comes to find out that this artist's father doesn't like the idea of new art being introduced. And so he wants to kill his son to prevent this kind of a new art movement from spreading. And so they go on this whole thing, and it ends, and it's kind of sad, but it's really good anyway, in the way that Usagi Yojimbo does, better than most other books that are being made still. It's a really good book. I think it's only like $4, and it's like 40 pages.
Cool. So, yeah. I think I ordered that to look it up.
But it's really good. So, yeah. That's it.
Just one other book I want to mention real quick. It's Fantastic Four. I got caught up on James Robinson, and it took me like a month to finish the other run, Matt Fraction, because I didn't like it at all. But I forced my mind is like I have to know everything, so I had to plow through that in order to get to the new one, and the new Fantastic Four is so good. It's like the deconstruction of them, and some villain is doing stuff that's taking away the things that are most important from the Fantastic Four. Like Sue Storm, they're taking away the kids away from her. The Mr. Fantastic, he's kind of like losing his ability to do science in the Baxter Building. The Thing is going to lose Alicia. The Human Torch lost his powers, so he can't flame on anymore, and that's like he's the only one, I think, the guy that enjoys his powers more than any of them. And Leonard Kirkart is so damn good. So I'm just like really happy that Robinson took over and is doing really good with this title. But we got to talk about movies and TV. And Bill, you have to leave in half hour, don't you?
I do.
So why don't you go first?
All right. Let's see. I watched a couple horror movies. The first one, I don't know if you saw this, Mike. You probably did. I saw Your Next.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. This is the guys who made it have made several other movies that I'm not real familiar with. But it's a horror movie. It's like a home invasion horror movie. So it starts out where this couple is in their getaway home in the by a lake, wherever, out in the boonies. And some dude comes in and kills them. Well, he kills the husband and then writes "Your Next" in blood on the window. And then the girl comes in and sees the "Your Next," and then she gets killed. And then you meet the house down the street. This couple is having their kids over. Their kids are grown up, so the kids and all their spouses are partners are coming over for a family dinner. I can't remember what the occasion was. There was some kind of occasion anyway. The mother wanted to get all the kids together. So you kind of meet all the different couples, and there's four kids and there's couples, so the total of 8 people or 10 people. So they're sitting down, eating dinner, having a good time, siblings are fighting with one another, and they kind of set up like the relationship between the characters and the different family members. And one of them hears something at the window and walks up to the window. Never a good idea in a horror movie. He walks up to the window, and all of a sudden you hear "phew," and the glass in front of him shatters, and everyone's like, "What the heck's going on?" You know. And then he turns, and you see he has like an arrow sticking in his head. So he falls down dead. Everyone starts screaming, and it's total chaos. And arrows start flying into the window. Everyone's ducking under the table and trying to get out of the room. And then it goes on from there. So everyone in the house is freaking out and trying to survive. And there's these dudes who they don't know who they are, like, going to come in and kill them. And then at about probably at the end of the first act, so about half hour into it, it kind of twists a little bit. Not like a huge, like, oh my goodness, surprising twist, but just kind of the feel of the movie changes a little bit in a good way, because I think it makes it more interesting. The dynamic of the whole thing changes. So it was really, really well done. I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of violent, gory kills in it, as you would expect. It's very action packed. Like it's there's constantly stuff going on, so it goes from one. Well, that's the one nice thing is when you start out with a cast of 10 people, you have lots of people to kill. So the action is high throughout the whole thing. And one other thing they did was for the music, like the soundtrack, when the movie kind of shifts direction, the soundtrack kind of changes, and it changes to like this 80s techno music that they made for it, which is like kind of like classic, like 80s horror movie techno music. So it's like what's it called? Like synthesizer music. So it's pretty funny. One thing I watched the behind the scenes or making of extra that was on the DVD, and they seemed to think it was a lot funnier than it was. I didn't really get a funny aspect to it that I picked up. I mean, some of the deaths were pretty, not humorous, but more, you know, tongue in cheek, I guess. But I didn't really get a huge comedic sense from it, but it was really good. I liked it a lot. It kind of was like, so I didn't like The Purge because The Purge had this awesome concept, and then the movie itself had nothing to do with the concept. Because they had this concept in The Purge, you have this concept of this world, this dystopian world almost, where people are killing each other in the streets, and then the whole movie was just like this poorly done home invasion movie.
I disagree. I think The Purge is awesome. Totally disagree with you.
I think The Purge is miserable.
The Purge did not fulfill their promise. They promised this awesome movie where there's going to be blood in the streets and people killing each other, and all it was a home invasion movie. That's it. It was a bad home invasion movie.
I disagree. I thought it was really good.
I think the premise is even weak. But anyway.
Okay, but to my point, this is like a well-done home invasion movie, so... If you want to see what The Purge could have been.
Better than Panic Room?
Oh, Panic Room is great. That's a good movie.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. But I don't know. It's been a long time since I saw that, so... This is more... fun, I guess. This is less of a, like... You're freaking out in suspense, wondering what's going to happen, and more... More action. It turns into more of like an action movie than a horror movie at some point. It was good. It was well done. I liked it. And then I'll do the other horror movie I saw was The Conjuring.
I haven't seen that one either.
I think that's probably written and directed by James
Wan. Is it James Wan? Yeah. I saw the first one.
I thought there was only one. Was there two?
I thought there was a second one.
It's possible.
Yeah, it's coming. They're making another one.
Oh, they're making another one. Okay, yeah, I could see that.
I heard about it. I wasn't sure if it's like a direct-to-DVD thing that I missed out on or something. But no, it doesn't come out till next year. So yeah.
Okay, so this was James Wan has done Saw, and what was that other movie he did? Insidious.
No. Insidious.
Yeah.
He did one of those two. I think he did the first Insidious.
The writer, director. Yeah. Now Insidious I didn't like. That was the where they go to the dream world or purgatory or whatever, right? Yeah, I didn't like that movie was stupid, I thought. But this one actually
What do you mean? What? You're really I'm ready to go to blows here. You're shitting on all my movies. Son of a bitch. Ah!
So we can agree that sucked. And
no, we could disagree.
I just thought the dream world was so cheesy in that movie. So cheesy.
Have you seen Insidious 2?
No. It's on instant streaming though. I want to catch it.
It gets silly. I think it does it on purpose. I'm not entirely sure what's going on with it. I watched it because he's directing the next Fast and Furious movie, which I think
could be good or bad.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, there's no telling because the movie that they were going to make is not the same movie they're making anymore, so...
Is it Fast and Furious with ghosts?
I'm not sure. Maybe Paul Walker...
transported to the dream
maybe
world?
Maybe Paul Walker is a ghost now, and he's going to haunt them through their cars or something. So, but I was just curious because this guy who makes horror movies is making the next Fast and... is like the head of a multi-million dollar... Summer Blockbuster franchise now, so
it is interesting.
Yeah, like when they, I knew that Justin Lin was done because four movies is a lot of movies to do in one franchise. But when they said they're bringing in James Wan, I was like, that's a weird choice because he makes $12 horror movies. We'll see how it goes. Maybe they were taking it into a new direction where everything is terrifying.
Could be. Yeah, it is going to be weird because it's so different than anything he's done. Not that he can't do it.
Right, there's just no telling.
So in The Conjuring, it's probably loosely based on a true story. Quote-unquote true story. It stars Vera Farmiga, who has done a bunch of, I'm a big fan of. She's in the Bates Motel now.
Okay. Oh God, she's fascinating. That's all you had to say.
She was in Source Code and Up in the Air. Sister of what's her sister's name? I can't remember her sister's first name.
Sophia?
No.
Well, I tried.
Her sister's in what's that TV show? The horror TV show.
American Horror Story.
Yeah, American Horror Story.
That's a weird niche.
So this is about a Vera Farmiga and this actor whose name I don't know are paranormal researchers, and they get this case where this family moves into this new home and it's being haunted, and the family is Lily Taylor and Ron Livingston. So they got fairly big names to be in this. Well, not big, huge names, but big B-list, I guess. Big B-list names. So they did. So in terms of that, it was good. So it's about the haunting of this house, and it goes how most of these movies go, where they come in and they're doing the investigating, and then they record all this weird stuff on video, and kids are getting thrown around, and they figure out what's causing it all, and then have a final showdown. I liked the first half of the movie better than the second half, which I think is a thing with me and James Wan movies, where I like the way he sets everything up, but I don't like the way he ends his movies.
Gotcha.
I think they're kind of anticlimactic at some point. They become what's the word? Kind of
cheesy.
Not cheesy, just kind of expected. Like, he goes the expected route every time, and it's just kind of a letdown for me. Where I kind of wanted to see something interesting at the end, but he just kind of... And then they fight the ghost, and then they win.
Yep.
You know? So, but it was good. I liked it more than Insidious, so... It was creepy. It was creeping me out. The first half was creeping me out. Good thing I don't believe in ghosts, or I'd be creeped out even more.
That'd be a hard life to live.
So what movies do you like that I can shit on right now?
What movies do I like? I'm excited that they're making a Hot Tub Time Machine Part 2.
Oh, Lord.
Because I love the first one.
I didn't like it that much. I thought it was worse than Insidious.
Oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You didn't like it? I thought you liked it.
No, I thought it was okay, but to try to capture an 80s feel, I don't think it was effective.
It was definitely a parody version of the 80s. I will agree with that. I still liked it. Fantastic.
Fantastic Four.
You're shitting on my movies, bastard.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to some episodes and just next opening into the show. Movie I like. The motherfucking movie sucked.
You should watch Troll Hunter. I love Troll Hunter.
Okay, I'll watch that.
But Troll Hunter is good.
I hated that. It's a piece of shit. It didn't know what direction it was going. It's pretentious. Any TV, Bill?
I want to
cover everything that.
Yeah, that
you would cover, because
the only TV I really have is I'm continuing on with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm still enjoying it. I think it's getting better and better as the season goes on. So for those who dropped it early.
I dropped it early, I dropped it in the middle, and I dropped it at the end.
Wow. You keep going back.
I kept trying it at different points, and I was like, God damn, this sucks.
You probably have to watch it through.
I'm glad that people like it, okay?
It's way better than Arrow, that's for sure.
Oh, fuck.
You need the teeny bopper stuff, I guess, to keep you happy.
Oh, jeez.
Teeny bopper romance.
Arrow is awesome. I don't know what
you're talking about. I watched another episode of Arrow. I watched the episode with Bronze Tiger.
You're way ahead of me. I only watched the first season. I'm still watching it on streaming.
Gotcha.
Is it good? Is it a good Bronze Tiger? Bronze Tiger, first
appeared... It's not as good as Brave and the Bold Bronze Tiger, but you know, it's all right.
Bronze Tiger first appeared in Richard Dragon Kung Fu Fighter.
That is true. I have those issues.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I like Michael Jai White, so...
Well, I'll talk about a few movies that Bill can shit on. Sweetwater is a Western that I ordered because I wanted a Western on Netflix, and it was really, really good. It's a story of Ed Harris plays this kooky-ass sheriff from another – I think he's from Santa Fe — that's working for the governor, trying to attack these mass murders that are going on, especially two brothers that were killed that the governor, they were actually related to the governor, and they were making this trail. And there's this religious fanatic, crazy as shit. Like, I don't know if he's like, he really thinks he's really part of Jesus or something. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him, but he is really — is the guy who played Malfoy, something.
Draco? I don't know his real name.
Played in Harry Potter. He was
in Planet of the Apes, right?
Yeah, I think so. But he was a great villain. He was like a religious crazy guy that brought in his flock, and he like fucked all the women and didn't let the husbands even screw their own wives, and he would screw them all. And one time, this this ex-whore married this this guy from Mexico, Miguel, and hit the preacher's the crazy ass preacher's sheep was invading his crops, and he went to this religious guy and got on his bad side, and the religious guy was just killing people left and right, anybody that he thought was a sinner. And he went and killed, he thought God talked to him, actually. He'd like wake up and say, whores, whores, and he knew he was going to do something. But he went after this guy, killed her husband, and then she was seeking vengeance. And meanwhile, this sheriff is uncovering stuff and relating it back to the preacher, and they're both going after the preacher, and the preacher kind of owns the entire town. I mean, the whole town is run by this crazy motherfucker. I'd highly recommend it. I thought it was a great Western. Ed Harris is great in it. He is a kooky-ass sheriff. He is so badass. He invited... The preacher invited him to his house to eat a dinner. And the sheriff already knew he was behind this shit. And he's like, he was trying to say, you're good with geography, but you don't know the trail from Tucson to Santa Fe or whatever it was. And the guy's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he goes, can I borrow your knife, that big knife back there? And then this guy ordered this like table from like, I don't know, Europe. And he basically draws the map on his fucking table with the knife in his at his dinner table. That preacher just so mad. I mean, I just love that scene. He is so good. But I'd highly recommend Sweetwater to Bill so he could shit on it. And Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was fucking amazing. Went to go see that last weekend. Really, really good film. Really good sequel to the first one.
It's getting awesome reviews.
It was a movie where it has a lot of political stuff going on, and as a leader of the apes, it's damned if you do. It's one of those situations where either decision you make, you're fucked. You're not going to be in a good shape no matter what decision you make. So it was kind of like a damned if you do, damned if you don't decisions. But really good movie. I'd highly, highly recommend it. Along with the Boom comics, which are phenomenal. Go check those out. Those are the two movies that I've watched that were really good. Micah?
Let's see. Movie-wise, I watched since the last time. Did I talk about The Cat Returns? No. No. It's a Studio Ghibli movie. Mike won't like it. It's anime, but it's really good. A girl goes into a cat world and has adventures. It's really exciting. And it's like 80 minutes long. And it's wonderful. And it's very cute. And everything about it is good. Literally everything. So, that's the only movie I think I've watched in the past 2 weeks. Yeah. No time for movies. No time for movies.
How about for TV?
Just more Iron Chef.
I just want to say Strain is fucking awesome. Highly recommend The Strain.
Yeah, I look forward to one day seeing that.
Especially if you like vampires that are terrifying. It's also got an Outbreak type feel to it. So if you like CDC type drama. The lead CDC guy is a really good actor. I don't know who he is, but he was really good in the show. It did go close. I know it's a book, but I read the comic. It did go close to the comic book, so I was really happy with it. And I'm going to watch it. The first episode was 90 minutes long. So,
did you read the whole comic series?
No, I still got to get back and finish it. And plus, it's going on again. They're like doing another part.
Because there's like 3 books or something, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I almost did it. If I didn't read The Empty Man and get on this Boom tangent, you know, I definitely would have switched gears and finished The Strain this weekend just because I liked it so much. I watched the first episode of Penny Dreadful, which I had already told Bill. It's kind of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen meets this vampire world and monsters. I really like that. Penny Dreadful's on Showtime. That was a really good show. Under the Dome, I can't recommend it, but I'm hooked. I can't say it's really good or go check it out, but I'm enjoying it just because of its quirks, and I want to see where it goes.
Everyone's a jerk on that show.
Yeah. Well, I like the main guy, the kind of like agent dude. But,
yeah.
I like the acting of the one guy that's from Breaking Bad, the mayor. I'm a fan.
Yeah, he's good. He's a jerk.
He's a good jerk, and he does it well. A lot of layers of complexity. Like, his character's good. A lot of the other characters, well, they have a new female girl that they was a science teacher, and man, it's that part. The last episode kind of sucked me in because she wants to kill the town because they're running out of food. She's giving people surveys to figure out who's useful and who's not, and they don't know. And Barbie is thinking like that, and there's just creepy girl that showed up that was dead for, I don't know, 20 years. I don't know. It's just some cool stuff. What else is on TV that I've been watching? There's one other show I just can't remember. But I've been watching a lot of fucking TV. It's I was telling Bill that this fall is scaring me because there's so much TV I want to watch, and it's going to take away from my comic reading time. I'm not too happy about that.
There's a bunch of shows that have started up recently, but I haven't watched any of them. There's some on RTO that are just sitting there. You never know. One of the funny things about, like, you put a show in TiVo to, like, get a season pass or whatever, and it records some episodes. And then a lot of them, like, it'll record, like, two episodes, and then it gets canceled. So you just have those, like, two episodes on your DVR, and you're like, oh, I guess that show must have gotten canceled. We have the two episodes of it.
Yeah.
Then you're like, should we watch it? Nah. Why bother?
There was one other show that we finished. Oh, no, we're still watching a True Blood. And spoiler, they killed Barb's guy, so she's upset.
Oh, man, poor Barb. Is she in mourning?
Yeah.
Is that the Ab guy?
Yeah, the Ab guy she's always posting on Facebook.
What's she going to do? Now she has to look at your abs.
Yeah, my one ab. I got a one pack.
Food.
Or do you have any more TV?
I'm out of TV.
I thought I watched something.
So food. I've been eating a lot less of it, that's for sure. I'm trying to lose weight. I lost 7 pounds.
Yeah, good job.
I don't know if it's so much eating healthier.
It's not eating.
Eating a lot more vegetables and a lot more stuff, but I'm eating a lot less.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm watching my calorie intake.
Yeah, just taking
it. And I'm exercising a little bit more. So, like, yesterday I ate wings, and instead of eating 30, I only ate 10. So, it's a big difference.
That's
a
massive difference.
Your stomach shrinks. It,
yeah, you get used to eating less.
And the one thing that you could do when you're like me is I tend to eat fast, and if I slow the fuck down, you get full fast. Like, if you eat, you can keep stuff in your face. Your brain doesn't know you're full.
You can beat your brain.
You can beat your brain. And I've been trying to, like, slow down and
let your brain catch
slower,
up.
Slower, letting my brain catch up, and just where I'd eat two things, I only eat one. And drinking a lot more water instead of soda, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's an easy thing you can do to reduce.
Yeah, where your body doesn't hate you because you gave up stuff you love, but you just eat a lot less of it. I've been eating a lot less carbs too, but that could be it. But I got a long way to go. I still got a, I try to lose 20 pounds. I got, you know, 13 more to go. And I have less than 60 days, according to my little app I was programming it in.
You got a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start. I know that the more and more closer I get, the harder and harder it's going to be to lose pounds.
So have you gotten kicked off DC Noise yet, or do you have to lose like a certain number of pounds before you get kicked
off?
No,
I still got a long way to go. That's why I only said 20 pounds, so I could still meet the weigh-in criteria.
Well, congratulations.
So not start. A lot of fun meals.
Yeah, fun meals, just not
no,
as much of them.
No dessert. I haven't had any dessert in a long time.
We've been having these watermelon. I've had a lot of watermelon lately. Because it's starting to get in season. Or it is in season now, actually, so. It's awesome.
I got a lot of cucumbers in my garden. I got to figure out what the hell to do with cucumbers.
Smoothies. Add sugar.
Cucumber smoothies?
Sure, why not?
Throw some kale in there.
It's like cucumber water and stuff, so I can't imagine it being a bad thing.
Sounds disgusting.
You don't like cucumbers?
Not in a smoothie. You probably have to peel them.
Make ice cream.
Cucumber ice cream?
Yeah.
I'm being paged.
Oh, so it's time for you to go.
It's time for me to go eat some cake.
We're actually almost to wrap up, right,
Mike? I think we're done. Yeah.
So everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you want to do the wrap-up?
Yeah, Bill, eat something for me good.
I'm going to go eat some cake and probably about 6 servings of ice cream.
There you go. Thank Sweet. You. Think of me when you do it.
I'll probably eat pizza too.
Gain weight while you're doing that.
I'll try and gain at least, what'd you say, 7 pounds?
7 pounds?
All right, I'll try and gain 7 pounds.
Let's offset each other. Let's keep the world in balance.
That's right. We'll keep everything in balance.
So we don't start a dystopian future.
That's how it really starts.
Reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can leave comments there. The comment thing's working. You can do it. You really could. Leave an iTunes review. We'd really appreciate that. On Twitter, we're at DBM00, at @do_what, and at Mike Myers Brunch. And on the Facebooks, we have a Facebook page. If you type in Geek Brunch Podcast, you'll find it. You click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there.
I'll put my picture, my Russ Campbell painting up there.
Yeah, we sometimes post stuff there that's outside. Like I post my weekly reads there. And totals and company breakdowns and all the other stuff.
You can post about how right I am about the movies that I dislike.
Yeah, I'd like to see how wrong Bill is. I can't believe you didn't like The Purge. I thought that was a good thing. It just became more focused. It was broad, and then it just focused. It narrowed in.
Abandoned the premise. Completely abandoned.
No, it didn't abandon the premise.
It's a home invasion movie. That's all it was.
No, it wasn't. It was the rich attacking the poor. Actually, the rich, but...
What?
Yeah, some guy is poor, so they were hunting him down. So, what else? And anything else you guys want to mention?
Nope.
No. That's it for me.
All right. Well, you guys have a good weekend, and I will talk to you guys again in a week.
All right.
Or weekend, or 2 weeks.
2 weeks and a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.